The sixth chapter of John, it is a very action-packed, non-stop, on-the-go chapter in the life of Jesus. Last week we looked at John's first record of Jesus paying attention to the Passover feast. And this account that we're looking at today, this is the second account in the book of John where we see this observation. And that reaffirms what we said last week, that Jesus had respect for Judaism. Our account today, it's on the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. And this was a sea that's 650 feet below sea level. And at its longest and widest points, it is 13 miles by 6 miles. It had mountains to the left and right of it, as high as 2,000 feet and 4,000 feet. And flowing into the sea was the Jordan River. This place was a prime fishing place. Because of the valleys and the mountains, weather in the area was quite unpredictable. Storms could quickly come together. Today, the water levels are considerably lower than they were back when John chapter 6 pictured this lake. So today, when we look at the towns nearby, and if we were to see these towns, we'd find these towns to be farther away from the shores than they were back in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 shows us these towns that are nearby as prime fishing villages. Oh, this helps us to understand why Jesus would choose to find fishermen in many of these towns, why he would speak to them in words using the illustrations in regards to fishing. This area was also a very poor area, lots of hardworking, underpaid people. The area had lots of people who were just getting by, and even some who had no means of support at all. And in addition to that part of their economy, the people were still taxed very heavily. That helps us to see why this meal of the feeding of the 5,000 was so essential to the people. Scripture says while Jesus was there that he had compassion on them. And Jesus meets a pressing need for the people by giving them food. These that were fed, they had some thoughts going on in the back of their minds like this Jesus who gives us food, he's much like Moses. He gives us this miraculous meal, much like how Moses supplied the people with the manna. This would be a powerful symbol for the people of rescue and of sustenance. Jesus feeds the people with heavenly bread. Other Gospels show Jesus using the disciples to deliver the bread. But in John chapter 6, we see Jesus doing it. And I think John emphasizes that because he wants us to see that this bread that the people get, that this is a bread that comes from God. There's a parallel in this Gospel also with the book of Numbers. In Numbers chapter 11, particularly verse 13, we see this. Where can I get food for all these people? There's a number of other passages in the book of Numbers chapter 11 which parallel John chapter 6, and I'll encourage you to look at those on your own. Check out Numbers 11, verses 1 to 22, and compare it to John chapter 6, verses 12 to 51. I think you'll see quite a bit of parallel. Here's another parallel from the Old Testament, from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. A man came from Baal, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. Give it to the people to eat, Elijah said. How can I set before a throne of 100 men, his servant asked. But Elijah answered, give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over. Then he set it before them, and they ate, and they had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. All these different accounts, they are a foreshadowing of the miracle that Jesus was going to do. In Jesus showing himself as one greater than Moses, we see that he isn't just supplying them physical bread, that he's giving them the bread of life. The thing is that when Jesus does this miracle, not everyone gets the point. Philip, he's one of the ones following Jesus. He's concerned about the fact that they're going to spend 8 months' wages, he thinks, to supply the people with enough food for them to eat. He doesn't get what Jesus is doing. And we have to stop here. We have to ask, were the disciples more concerned about their own money, or were they concerned about the condition of the crowd? Did they have their own needs at the forefront, or did they have the people's needs at the forefront? Even many in the crowd don't get it. Rather than seeing the purpose of this miracle, that this miracle was a picture of God supplying the needs for the people, they begin to dream up ideas about what they want Jesus to be for them. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 clues us in about that. It tells us that when this occurs, that Jesus left because he wanted to preserve himself and the idea that he didn't want to be a political Messiah. Now, all four writers of the Gospels each bring their own unique perspective to this account. We also learn this in all the Gospels, that crowds of people follow Jesus, and that they arrive on foot ahead of Jesus. The reason that they arrive ahead of foot, on foot from Jesus, is that Jesus is in a boat, and he arrives, and he depends upon the winds, and it's probable that the winds weren't very strong. This lake for Jesus, this lake provided much rest that Jesus needed. And I know many of you probably enjoy going fishing, and you find fishing quite relaxing. For me, fishing isn't a very relaxing thing. It's a very stressful thing. But for Jesus, it was a relaxing thing. After he's been out on the lake, he appears refreshed. And after he comes ashore, he has compassion on the crowd, and he even heals the sick. Mark, in his gospel, tells us that Jesus began teaching many things. Jesus, he could have stayed in the boat much longer. He could have, but he didn't want to. He didn't want to ignore the crowd, because that's not the nature of our Savior. Our Savior came to serve. He came to give himself away for others. The disciples, they do become concerned for the welfare of the crowd. And they encourage Jesus to send them away so that they can go to villages and buy the food. Then in John's Gospel, we learn that Andrew found a small boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Think about that little bit of food that that boy supplied. How could that little bit of food be enough to feed so many? Well, in this miracle, we get another chance for Jesus to demonstrate that he is the promised one, that he is the Messiah. Let's read John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore on the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw a miraculous sign he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with the disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where should we buy food for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough food for each one to have a bite. Another one of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. How far will they go among so many? Jesus answered, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down and 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. They did the same with the fish. When they all had had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into this world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and to make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Let's pray. Dear Lord, this is your word. I pray that you would help us to understand it this morning, that we would be true to your word, that it would speak multitudes to us, that it would show us of our need to be right with you, to be dependent on you. I pray that you would show to us this morning that we need to solely rest upon you, and that is where we can be confident, not in ourselves or in any other place. Use this word, pierce our hearts with it this morning. Amen. There's a Christian rapper by the name of KJ52, and I don't suppose there's a lot of rap fans out in the audience, right? Right? 5 years ago, as a youth pastor in Minnesota, we did a concert and we used this Christian artist named KJ52. It was much like the event of the bonfire here. And in bringing KJ into our church, I got to learn a lot about his street name. Now, rappers, they typically have street names. None go by the real names, and that would make too much sense, I guess, so that's why they go by street names. Like, if I was a rapper, I'd be called, like, Mega Moose or something kind of silly like this. Well, this KJ, he takes his name from this passage in John. KJ was his given name, was a part of his given name, and the 5-2 is a reference to the fish and the bread. He was impressed by how Jesus used a young boy for his mighty kingdom purposes. I want to spend some time this morning talking about this young boy who comes forward with the food. Think about this boy with me. We're going to kind of just dream about what this boy's day was like. Your day starts out pretty normally as you're wandering around the hillsides. Then you see this crowd gathering. Now, we don't know if this is exactly how it went, but let's just imagine this is how it went. This boy thinks to himself, hey, I wonder what's going on over there. I don't have anything better to do, so I'm going to go over there. Mom did make me enough lunch for the day, so I don't need to go home anytime soon. I'm just going to go along and see what's happening. The little boy, he follows the crowd, and the crowd gathers near the shore looking for Jesus. The little boy pushes his way to the front of the crowd so that he can see as well. Then he sees this man in the boat, and he sees him get out and speak to the crowd. And he thinks to himself, he says, "Hey, I know who that is. That's that guy named Jesus. Maybe this won't be such a dull afternoon after all." So the boy sits down on the grass and he gets comfortable as he listens to Jesus. Jesus begins to teach the people about the kingdom of God. The boy listens and he thinks to himself, "Jesus is talking about the love of God for all people. That includes me. He's not like one of those in the temple or in my place of worship that is always telling me what to do and what not to do. Jesus is just telling me that God loves me the way that I am." Well, the boy listens a little more and he thinks to himself, "Jesus is telling me that He's the Son of God, that He's the Savior, and that we should believe in Him." The boy starts to get a little tired from sitting at the crowd. He gets up and he walks around and he carries his basket of food with him. He sees the crowd. He sees many in the crowd who are sick, many who are ill. Then he sees that Jesus is calling all the people, all who are sick, to come forward. And he watches as Jesus heals the people. And then he thinks to himself as he watches, "This Jesus is really powerful. He can heal the sick. He can heal all who are ill. Well, I even heard that He raised somebody from the dead. This Jesus, He is from God." The boy starts to walk around a little more. He notices some of Jesus' disciples helping people along to get healed. Then he looks to the sky and he realizes that it's getting late. Then he looks at his spot at the ground and he says, "No, I'm going to sit down again." But then he starts to think about his hunger and he says, "I'm starting to get hungry." Then he thinks to himself, "Hey, I've got this meal that my mom packed with. Maybe that'll be my meal. It was supposed to be for lunch, but now it's supper time. Maybe I should eat." Then he looks around a little more and he says, I don't see anybody else eating. Should I eat?" Then the boy, he notices Jesus and his disciples talking, and he can hear a few words about what they're saying. And he understands that the disciples are saying, "Hey, maybe we should go get some food. The people here don't have any food to eat." Then he hears one of the disciples tell Jesus, "But the boy over there has loaves and fish." Then he sees the disciples coming towards him. Then he thinks to himself, "Why are they coming towards me? I've got five small loaves of bread and two small fish. What could they possibly want with what I have? This isn't going to feed the whole crowd." Then the disciples, they come to the boy, and they ask him to come with and to see Jesus. The boy hesitates for a moment, and he thinks to himself, "Wow, they want me to go see Jesus? What will my mom and dad hear about this? Wait till I go home and tell them that I got to see Jesus up close." So the boy goes and he walks with the disciples. He goes to Jesus and Jesus himself asks for the fish. He asks for the bread. And then the boy thinks to himself a little more. "Should I give him that? What's he going to do with it? I'm hungry. I need it." Then he thinks a little more. "Well, I do believe that He's the Son of God, that He's the Savior, so maybe He can do something with this stuff that I can't." So the boy says to Jesus and he says to the disciples, "Here, take the fish, take the bread." The disciples take it. They take it from the boy and they give it to Jesus. Then Jesus commands the crowd to sit down. And Jesus turns to heaven and he prays. The boy sits on the grass in front of Jesus and he sees a marvelous thing happen. Jesus breaks the loaves and the fish and hands it to the disciples and to give to the people. And Jesus keeps breaking and keeps giving for what seemed like forever. Then the boy thinks a little bit more to himself. "This Jesus is amazing. He takes my small lunch and he makes it into a meal to feed all these people." The disciples, they finally hand the boy some fish and some bread to eat. And he even gets seconds. As he's eating, he watches the disciples gather up the 12 baskets of the leftovers. He's astonished that they have 12 baskets left over to give to those who are in need. All this from his small bag of lunch. He sees the disciples give away the baskets of food to even the poorest in the crowd. As he's watching all this happen, the boy notices that the crowd is thinning out. Everyone's starting to head home, and he looks to the sky, and he sees that it's starting to get dark. So he gets up from his full supper, and he starts to make his way home. As he's walking home, he thinks to himself a little bit more. He thinks, "Wow, this has been a very exciting day. I heard Jesus teach about the kingdom of heaven. And yes, I do believe in that. This is the one that we've been waiting for. He thinks to himself, he said, I saw Jesus heal people who had all different sorts of ailments and diseases. And then I saw Jesus take my lunch and make it into a meal to feed all these people. He's reminded about how he heard the disciples talk about how they had counted 5,000 men and women. And he marvels a little bit more. And as he's walking home, he says, wait till I get home and tell Mom and Dad about my day. The boy walks home in a hurry because he's got great news to tell his family. We all know that Jesus could have produced the food without any help. But that would have denied this little boy the opportunity to participate in the work of the Lord. Jesus didn't need what this boy had. The little boy needed to give this food to his Lord so that he could participate in the Lord's work. The boy could have easily said, I was smart enough to plan for this. Why should I share with those who didn't plan ahead? The boy could have said, hey, those people that don't have food, they made their beds. Let them lie in them. He could have said, if Jesus was such a good teacher, why couldn't he plan ahead for all the food to be here? That's not what the boy did. The boy gave sacrificially because he trusted in Jesus. He gave expecting nothing in return, and he gave quietly without calling attention to himself. He trusted the Lord to do far more with the resources than he could have done on his own. On his own, this little bit of food that he had, that would have supplied himself and maybe two others with the meal that they needed. But by giving to the Lord, the gift was multiplied, and well over 5,000 were fed. And because of that, a preaching opportunity was extended. The Lord was given extra time to teach and to preach. And in return, because of that, people's hearts could be changed. This portion of God's Word, it teaches us many things. It teaches us to be fed by God. And how often do we just sit back and think that we can feed ourselves and that we have things under control on our own? God desires to bring us into a deeper relationship with Him every day. This passage also gives us a glimpse of the giving nature of God. And today, so many have written God off. It saddens me to think about how many fail to see how giving our God is. Jesus gave in this account. He gave a lesson to the boy and to the disciples in following Jesus. He gave an amazing meal to the crowd that was so desperate for food. That meal was so big that it had leftovers. And that's how giving our God is. He is abundant in His giving. Psalm chapter 68, verses 9 and 10 echoes that idea. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it. And from your bounty, O God, you provided for the poor. This passage also shows us how Jesus responded to people's needs. He does that yesterday and He does that today. I read a story in my prep for this morning, a story about a man named Len. Len used to work for Campus Crusade doing evangelistic work here in the United States. He got an opportunity to take a short-term mission trip to Afghanistan. And while he was there, he sensed that God was calling him to do full-time mission work overseas in Afghanistan. So he left his staff position with Campus Crusade and he went to work for a parachurch organization known as World Vision. World Vision has a commitment to share the gospel and to also meet people's needs. While he was in Afghanistan, he saw a need. He saw that people needed to hear the gospel, but he saw that they weren't able to hear the gospel because many just couldn't get to the opportunities to hear the gospel. Many had lost limbs, lost legs because of things that happened in the minefields. So he set up a shop and he built a factory that could build wheelchairs for all those in need. And because he met that need, those people who had that need met, they were able to hear the gospel for the first time. Connect that story with something that we did here at this church. Last Christmas, we had a last-minute thought to add a meaningful gift to those who came to our Christmas dinner. We wanted not to just give them a nice meal, but we wanted them to hear the gospel. So we gave out 40 DVDs of the movie The Nativity with the hopes that that gesture in connection with a nice meal would point people to hear about a real Jesus and to hear about the gospel. Jesus met people's needs because it's the right thing for Him to do. That's why He took care of their need. But His ultimate hope was so that they would see that He was the Messiah, that He was the Savior. And this account shows us how it's ethically irresponsible to not care for somebody's physical need and yet be concerned for their soul. As believers, we're called to care for those in need, their physical needs and their spiritual needs. Jesus, He speaks to the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18, and He says, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow Me. I heard a story on the news the other night that impressed me. In the story, they never mentioned that the man who was the centerpiece of the story had a faith in Christ, but I still think it's a great story for us to hear about us giving ourselves away for others. In the story, they talked about a man in Indiana, a man who had a very good business. His business had for years produced parts for trailer hitches. In recent times, because of the economy, his business has declined severely. He had the choice, should I lay off my workers? He chose not to lay off his workers. He chose instead to pay all of his workers for their full week's wages. He didn't have enough work for all of them, so instead, those who he didn't have enough work for, he had them doing different projects for free for the community in his town, fixing up churches and different buildings and things like that. I think for us, that's a lesson that we need to hear about the giving nature that we're supposed to be about. I think the greatest lesson that this passage teaches us is to get in the game with Jesus. Jesus wants to feed us. He wants to meet our needs. When we live outside of His provision, we're poor, we're hungry. But when we live inside of a relationship with Him, we find that Jesus takes care of all of our needs. Not all people back in the day of this account, not everyone got that message. Some imposed their own take on who Jesus was, and many today still don't get who Jesus is. Our job as believers is for the sake of the cross to share ourselves with others, like this little boy did, so that they see Jesus. I'll ask this question of you this morning. Where are you with Jesus? Are you in partnership with Him like this little boy? Or are you an outsider that doubted who Jesus was looking in? Our prayer as a church is that you would know the real Jesus who does the miraculous. And maybe today He can do the miraculous in your life and draw you into a relationship with Him. That would be our prayer for any who doesn't know Him. If you want to pray that prayer, grab an elder, grab me, grab someone after church and ask them to pray with you. Jesus is ready to give and give and give to you, and He has many good gifts to give you.